C-minus 72. Ford Residence, Birchwood, Colorado. Dan was grateful when a mundane phone call from Clark broke up his afternoon, consisting, as it had, of staring at his wall-length research board in the hope that the missing piece of the Kerguelen puzzle would flow from his mind in a flash of inspiration. It hadn't. With Clark still at work and Emma now home after a short trip to the city, but apparently not answering his calls, Clark asked Dan to pop next door and pass on an invitation. It came from Phil Norris, upon hearing that Emma had only one more night in Birchwood before heading to New York, and ultimately Italy with Timo Fiori, he had kindly invited everyone to the bar for some free drinks to see her off. Dan agreed to pass on the message. He waited until 4 o'clock, when Emma's usual at-home workdays came to an end, then began the 15-second walk from his home to hers. He had been counting down the minutes until 4 o'clock, even before Clark's call, keen to catch up with her for what would be one of the last times in a while. Dan didn't take any notice of the old blue car parked right outside. Subconsciously, he knew that Emma's sister, Tara, was due back in town soon, and he wasn't paying nearly enough attention to notice that it didn't look shiny or expensive enough to be something she would be seen dead driving. He knocked twice on the door, as he always did, and was surprised by how quickly Emma answered. He was also surprised by her noticeably flustered demeanor. "Hey," she said, trying to force an upbeat smile, "what's up?" After saying a few words about the message he was supposed to pass on for Clark, Dan noticed something over Emma's shoulder. A young man of around his age, sitting on the couch in a well-filled-out black muscle shirt. "Is something wrong?" Emma asked.
It was nothing," Dan replied, backing away. "I didn't know you were busy."
Emma watched in confusion for a few seconds as he turned around and began to walk away. She then glanced back to the couch and understood.
"Dan, wait." "It's fine," he said. "Really, you don't have to. He's here for Tara."
Dan stopped.
"Oh, I didn't know she'd arrived."
"Come on inside," Emma said, her expression having gone from confusion to amusement as the misunderstanding developed, quickly turned sour.
"She hasn't arrived yet, and that's the whole thing. Apparently she told this guy she'd be here an hour ago and that I'd be happy to let him inside if she was late, which sure sounds like her."
Dan grinned slightly. From the few times he'd met Tara, that did sound like her. Emma leaned in to whisper before they stepped inside.
"But don't worry, I searched and scanned him."
"For what?" Dan whispered back.
"Bugs, obviously. I took his phone too. You do understand why we can't let random people into our houses, right?"
Dan nodded, pretending he would have been so thorough. He made a mental note to make sure that he was next time. Not that he ever had visitors. As soon as Dan stepped inside, the young man on the couch leapt to his feet.
"Holy shit, it's Dan McCarthy!"
"Sure is," Dan replied. He then looked at the man's outstretched hand and tried to act like he was familiar with the odd angle of a sports-style handshake.
"I'm Jay. My sister loves you, dude. I mean, I like you too, but you know, not like that. Not that there's anything wrong with that, you know. I just mean, like, it's...
relax," Dan said. He himself had turned into a bumbling or dumbstruck idiot on a few occasions when he met people he knew from the TV. His meeting with Richard Walker during a school trip to the IDA building around 8 years earlier jumped to mind as a good example, but it still didn't really compute in his mind that he was now the person from the TV whose presence drove other people to either freeze up or ask for autographs and photos.
"So how long have you known Tara?" he asked, trying to settle the poor guy's nerves.
Jay hesitated and scanned the room for a clock.
"Probably like 6 or 7 hours," he said.
"And she invited him into my house," Emma said to Dan, as though Jay wasn't there. "And you wonder why I give her a hard time."
"I can leave," Jay said.
Emma motioned with her hand for him to sit back down.
"It's not your fault. I didn't mean that. Besides, you've already waited this long."
"Thanks," Jay said. He then turned back to Dan. "So, my sister would kill me if she knew I was here and didn't ask this. Do you remember her? Debbie Butcher?"
"Debbie Butcher?" Dan echoed.
Of course I remember her. She was in almost all of my classes. If she's your sister, then I think I remember you, too. Jay Butcher, you played football, right? You were only 2 years below me.
Jay's eyes lit up, and he looked up at the ceiling, shaking his head in disbelief before talking more to himself than anyone else.
I cannot believe Dan McCarthy knows who I am.
Why did you cut your hair? Dan asked.
I would have known you straight away with the long hair.
Emma gently pulled Dan's arm, encouraging him towards the relative privacy of the kitchen.
So, do you want Debbie's number? Jay asked.
Yeah, Dan, Emma said, teasing him with a parroting tone and a gentle elbow in the back. Do you want Debbie's number?
Oh, shit. Sorry, Jay said. I didn't know you guys were... Yeah, my bad.
Dan and Emma looked at each other silently for several seconds. Dan didn't know what she was thinking, but he guessed it was the same as him and that she didn't want to be the one to shout, "We're not," in a way that could only offend the other.
Do you want to say it, or should I?
She whispered through a smile, confirming that she was indeed thinking more or less the same thing. Dan tipped his head forward slightly.
"We're not," Emma said, eventually getting it out. Jay didn't even try to hide his confusion.
So was that a yes to wanting my sister's number?
I'm not really looking for anything like that, Dan said.
He was then relieved by the sound of the front door opening to save him from any awkward follow-up questions. Tara Ford, with all the effortless presence of her older sister, walked inside with the handle of a wheeled suitcase in one hand and an expensive-looking bottle of coconut water in the other.
Sorry I'm late, she said, only to Jay.
No problem, he said, standing to greet her. But Tara then noticed Dan standing next to Emma at the entrance to the kitchen and seemed to forget all about Jay as she hurried over towards them.
Dan, she said with a warm hug, there's my favorite person who lives in Birchwood.
Resident, Emma said. The word you're looking for is resident.
Tara let go of Dan and turned to Emma.
And there's my third favorite.
Emma mocked a smile.
Very good. Put your suitcase away and wait in my room. There are a few things I need to make sure you understand.
What crawled up your ass and died?
Tara asked. Emma took the suitcase from Tara's hand and carried it away.
So, anyway?
Tara smiled, holding her hands out and moving them until they were several feet apart.
I still have a list of names this long, Dan, and they're not just models this time. Some of them are nice girls, like me.
As Tara flashed a smile, Dan couldn't deny that she certainly had her charms. It wasn't difficult to see why she was doing well as a model, but even she couldn't have denied that she'd benefited a lot from the notoriety of her last name, as well as by looking a lot like a younger version of her universally recognized sister. The biggest difference between them was the accent, and this had been what Dan noticed most the first time he met Tara. Despite having been raised by the same parents while living in Georgia for her whole life, and despite not having spent 10 years in the upper echelons of New York's cutthroat publicity industry like Emma had, Tara's voice barely had a hint of a twang in contrast to Emma's soft but strong southern accent. Dan could only assume that she had ditched it on purpose.
I meant now, Emma said firmly from her bedroom door. I'll just be a sec.
Tara called to Jay, signaling that she hadn't forgotten about him. He nodded in acknowledgement.
I'll see you again soon, Dan,
Tara said, hugging him again.
I'm gonna be in town for a while.
That's nice, Emma said, walking back over.
Where did you say you were staying again?
Tara let out a mock sigh in Dan's direction as she headed to Emma's bedroom for her imminent reprimand. She then held out her hands again, reminding him of the length of her list. Back at Dan's side, Emma asked if the message he had from Clark was too private to talk about right now. Dan shook his head briskly, only then remembering that he had a message at all. It was just that Phil is offering free drinks for everyone since you're leaving tonight. Clark wants to go, obviously. He said he couldn't get hold of you on your phone.
It's just because his number doesn't get straight through during work hours. I guess I should change that. But yeah, definitely, I could do with blowing off some steam. Are you coming too?
No, Dan said very flatly. He didn't have to explain why. Emma knew that he hadn't been comfortable being around more than a few people at once ever since the weight of the secret landed on his shoulders, and the presence of Jay meant that he couldn't have safely done so anyway.
But I'll see you tomorrow, when you're going to the airport.
Definitely, Emma said. She walked with Dan towards the front door.
See you later, Dan said to Jay.
Yeah, dude, I hope so. Before you go, can I just ask, like, personally, what do you think this Kerguelen thing is all about? Everyone is sort of moving on from it already, but it can't be nothing, right? I mean, that place is so small. And for Kendrick to be there at the exact moment it happened? I don't know. Do you think there's more going on than we understand?
Surprising everyone, Tara interjected from halfway across the house. I think someone understands it, she said. I definitely think there's something that someone's not telling us.
Emma shrugged dismissively.
And since you've never been wrong before...
At that point, Jay chimed in again for a momentary silence to redirect the question squarely at Dan.
So, what do you think, dude?
Your guess is as good as mine, Dan said, and he left it at that. Emma opened the door and very briefly joined Dan outside to deliver a firm piece of advice that tonally came close to being more of an order than a suggestion.
I don't want you talking to Tara until I get home.
Why? Dan asked. It was the obvious question.
You heard her. She thinks someone knows something, and if she has even the slightest, tiniest suspicion that the someone might be you, she'll get the something out of you before you even know what's going on. She is so much smarter and sneakier than she lets on. If you let your guard down around Tara for a second, whoever you are, she'll get whatever it is that she wants from you and you won't even know she's got it.
Dan's expression conveyed his doubt with no need for words. The last time Tara had come to visit, Emma had encouraged him to think about what his actions of the previous year had ultimately done for Tara's career. By making Emma famous, it was the IDA leak that had in turn given Tara something to capitalize on by virtue of sharing Emma's last name and looking uncannily like she had 10 years earlier. Dan still didn't really think this was why Tara was always nice to him, but he hadn't forgotten the words.
I know you don't see any of that craftiness when you look at her, Emma went on, but you don't see it when you look at me either. You only see the good in people. That's not a bad thing, Dan, but it can be a dangerous thing, okay? And I'm not saying Tara would do anything to hurt you, to hurt us, but I really, really, really don't want her to know. Being worried about who she might tell is the main reason, but I also don't want her to have to bear this weight on her shoulders. Sure, she's difficult, but she's still my little sister. I still care about her.
So do I, Dan said. That's exactly what I said this morning. I like Tara way too much to bring her in on this. She doesn't deserve to have to deal with any of this. Emma nodded keenly.
Okay, however you want to frame it, just as long as she doesn't find out.
You'll only be gone for a few days anyway, Dan said.
That's right.
Emma smiled, putting her hand on the door to go back inside.
I'll be halfway back before you even know I'm gone.